Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
That's same as Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
That's Jason Wilde's theme music. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light. We are back in the Everlight Solar Studio. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton.
What's up with
you?
That? Couldn't have found us another location to do a remote show from?
You know, beggars can't be choosers. You would go to the wrong one anyways.
True. And then you would yell at us for it.
I didn't yell. I just insinuated it was you guys' fault.
Yes.
You guys' fault.
You
mostly
are
yours, Molly.
Actually, you know,
because if you weren't coming back, if you were still on maternity leave, we would have had the show right here. I'd have known exactly where it was at.
I want to ask this question of Jason Wilde, because I think out of all of us on the show now, and welcome, Jason, he would be a wordsmith. Jason, when I say the word wino, what do you think of?
Alcoholic who drinks a lot of wine.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's kind of what I was thinking,
no,
too.
No, it was not.
Yeah, someone who likes a lot of wine.
Jason, we were at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse on Tuesday, and Matt was crushing it. He was going full full enophile, talking with Lee from Ruth's Chris about all the great wines they have there. And then Matt's like, I'm not like a wino per se. Like, trying to use like a...
I didn't have the right word. So I went with wino.
It's a cork dork.
Apparently,
Lee
Sandman
said that cork dork could be a more like just a colloquial way to say it.
Yeah. It's a cork dork.
But the way Matt said it, like, I'm not like a wino. But like,
yeah, the way I said it, everyone understood what I was saying, whether it was totally wrong or not. Like, you got the inflection of what I was getting at.
It's a cork dork.
So it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's what you're going with?
Yeah, if there's some words in there where you can pick up context clues and figure it out, you know, like, you're a clever
record,
man.
Ryan
you
and
got
I,
it.
Ryan and I immediately were like, that's not right. So
I thought he was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's an old... That's an old person term, though, right? Like,
I did Urban Dictionary. It doesn't pop up. There's no like phrasing that would phrase it as wino.
Yeah,
they're just misspeaking, Jason. But it's nice for you to be so kind about it.
I just didn't use context clues when someone said wino around me. I was just like, oh, that's just a person that likes wine. I didn't realize they were calling him a drunk.
It's a cork dork.
Should have gone with I'm not a sommelier.
Right. And yeah. I eventually had another shot at finding the right word, Jason, but I will not live that one down either. Well, at least this week I won't.
Well, Jason's just perfect for it. He's a good, you know, independent.
He's a
word
arbiter sommelier.
Of this. All right. Jason, we have a sports question, weirdly, to get to. So we were asking the question of our fans, and right now they're pessimistic, but we were asking the question, do you think the Packers will make a big splash in free agency? And the way we're defining it is that they will add two unquestioned starters before the start of Jim, Matt, and Molly at 4 o'clock on Monday.
Ooh, wow, that's bold.
Because that's kind of a splash. That's when they did with McKinney and Jacobs. So, like, you're adding people. That's frontline players. Because after, like, very quickly, the top people will go, and then you'll start figuring out the market, and then other players will go over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, no, you're right to view it that way. I'm really curious to see how this plays out because, you know, I've been sitting here and I was just telling Wally and Corey this on ESPN Beaver Dam on their damn sports show. I don't feel like I have a good pulse for what's going to happen. And I don't like it when that is the case because, quite frankly, it's my job to give you guys insight. And I don't feel like I've done a great job of doing that because I don't have a great feel for what Goody might have up his sleeve. Like, you know, when you say something like we need to ramp up our urgency, I would think that that would also apply to himself, which would lead me to think that he would do something that would, you know, potentially be a bold stroke. At the same time, like, it to me, Davante Adams makes perfect sense because of the transition that you could still make to the guys that you say in your wide receiver room are capable of growing into the number one role. as opposed to trading for DK Metcalf and anointing him your number one. You're not going to go trade for Myles Garrett, who the Cleveland Browns aren't even like listening. They're doing like a la 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 la, I cannot hear you whenever somebody tries to approach them about trading for Myles Garrett. Max Crosby re-signed or signed an extension with the Raiders and at big numbers, but Trey Hendrickson makes sense to me. But maybe he doesn't appeal to Goody because he's already had his 30th birthday. So I don't feel, you know, I do feel that responsibility, and I just don't have a great feel for what exactly his moves might be here in the offseason, because I feel like the messaging is I need to do something, but I just don't have a great kind of grasp of what that might be. He's kind of talked us in circles, and now I can see just about anything happening. Standing pat, trusting the draft, acquiring extra draft picks, making one like somewhat expensive signing, or I could see him really going all in. I could see all those scenarios occurring.
So, yeah, Molly, did you have something?
I was just going to ask if, Jason, if there's any player in particular that you would like them to sign to be in the green and gold.
Besides
like,
Devontae.
Yeah, besides Devontae, of course.
Yeah, I really like Trey Hendrickson. Like, you know, what I like about him, yeah, if he was a little bit older, you might have called his games,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
I mean, here's a guy in the last 2 years. He led the league in sacks last year. Nobody has as many sacks as he's had the last 2 years. Over the last 4 years, the only people with more sacks are Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. He just turned 30 in December, so the idea that he's an old player, you know, if Goody wants to play that card and he's not interested in him because he's on the wrong side of 30, you know, I would hasten to add that they added a guy who was 31 years old that played defensive end. Worked out okay with him. His name was Reggie White. So I'm not saying Trey Hendrickson is Reggie White by any means, but I think he would really help this team. And I think he's not going to cost a fortune. He's going to cost. But what I don't like is the idea, and maybe my logic is flawed. I'm open to you guys telling me that. But, like, if you trade for DK Metcalf, you then have to pay DK Metcalf, and you have basically said, okay, I'm going to fix the wide receiver position with DK Metcalf by trading a pick or multiple picks and paying him $28, $30 million a year. If you sign Devontae, who costs you no trade compensation, and, I don't know, $18 to $20 million a year, which is a lot different, and then you still have the ability to get Trey Hendrickson if you want. Ooh, I'm getting all emotional to fill the void at defensive end. And maybe he's even good enough that he leads to those other guys being better, right? Maybe Rashawn Gary, with that kind of running mate, suddenly has a 10-sack season, which he's yet to have, even though he got a, you know, $84 million, $92 million contract or whatever he got. So my point is that I would rather fix multiple things than just one, and I feel like a DK Metcalf trade only fixes one.
Jason, I'm glad you brought the DK Metcalf trade, because I've got a fun conspiracy theory here for you, so put your tinfoil hat Ooh. On. Is there, in any world, is Goody or Mark Murphy or anyone on the Packers concerned that if they use their first round pick in a trade, that they're going to upset fans that are going to Lambeau for the draft and won't get to see their team make a pick in the first round?
So, first of all, if they give up their first round pick for DK Metcalf, I personally think that that would be a colossal mistake. That's a really high price to pay. And then on top of that, pay him the salary contract he wants. We saw Deebo Samuel, who was in the same draft class, go for a fifth-round pick. So I don't think Goody's given up the 23rd overall pick. That said, Goody was asked about that at the NFL scouting combine, and he said that Mark Murphy kind of joked about it. Even though he didn't feel like he had to say this, he kind of joked that he has to say it to him. You can trade the pick if that's the right thing. And don't worry about the fact that we won't have a pick to announce during the first round at the draft in Green Bay. So conspiracy theorist is probably strong, I won't get into some of the other conspiracy theories that are a little more dangerous than whatever that was. But the fact of the matter is that he has gotten the go-ahead that if a trade were to require that first-round pick, he has the blessing of Mark Murphy to trade it. Now, again, I don't know who the players are that would be worth giving up. I don't. If Seattle demands that you give up a first-round pick for DK Metcalf, then that should be a sign from the football gods that you shouldn't trade for DK Metcalf. Same with Trey Hendrickson. I've seen him as maybe a second or a third-round pick that it would cost to get him. The bottom line is that I don't think there's anybody available, short of T. Higgins, which I also don't think they're going to trade for him, that you would include the 23rd overall pick in a trade. So I don't think they're going to face that kind of a decision, put it that way.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. That's probably what they're telling the media, so they have to not have to worry about.
Yeah. Jason, my stance is
that's not from anybody. I have not. I mean, obviously Murphy said what he did to Goody, and Goody told that to the media. But I don't. I honestly don't think there's anybody that's worth giving that up for. Now the challenge would be we could put that to the test if there was a clear cut like great player that was on the block. Like let's say Cleveland stops ignoring calls on Myles Garrett and suddenly says, you know what, we are going to trade him, and the starting price is a first, a second, and a third. I don't think Goody would pay that, but I think that's the type of player where if you got him to the point where they said, all right, we'll just take your first-round pick for him, then I think that would put go ahead and trade the pick, we don't mind, would be put to the test. What I'm saying is I don't think there's any players on the market right now that are worth giving that up for, so it won't be tested as to whether or not that's truly okay with the team president.
And to put water on a conspiracy theory, which is pretty easy to do, I think if fans were in the theater and they're sitting there and they learn the Green Bay Packers have traded their first overall pick to the Cleveland Browns for Myles Garrett, that is a memory and a moment that will be matching any draft pick they make. So they're not going to be mad if they're physically there and
suppose
draft
if they did
night,
it at the draft, it's still when be, they would it'd still do be it. News. Yeah, it's
yeah,
still be good.
Yeah. So again, okay. Just easily putting water on a horrible conspiracy theory. Because Jason, I said everyone should be fired if that's a factor at all. Like if because the draft at Green Bay, we should keep our pick, then they should fire everyone in the building.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good reason to do something that you don't think is what's best for the team. Like if you think a trade is a smart trade that's going to make your team better, like, you know, if the Buffalo Bills called and said, we'll give you Josh Allen for Jordan Love and your first round pick, I don't know about you, but I would think about that.
I'd run to the podium for that trade.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Say less, so, Buffalo.
So that if you gave up your first round pick but your new starting quarterback was Josh Allen, I think fans would recover from that. They'd be okay with it.
Jason, Mason Crosby is...
Molly.
It's good to have me back, isn't it? Mason Crosby is retiring in Green Bay. What are your thoughts on that, him coming home?
I'm going to inform the Packers that I'd like to retire as a Packer, too. I think it's interesting, like, that there are guys that do this, and then the Packers, the way they phrase it, you know, so-and-so, Molly Brown has informed the Packers of her intent to retire as a member of the Packers. And then they get a press conference, and they get a story on the website, and it's all hunky-dory. Look, I love Mason Crosby. I enjoyed covering him. I think he's a good dude. He's a terrific kicker. But, like, his last season with the Packers was 2022. Right? Like we've now experienced two NFL seasons since then. So
three
it's a
kickers.
Great like yeah, no kid. Well, more like 8 or 10 kickers in terms of the ones that have actually like been on the roster, right?
Right.
And so like, you know, I think the important lesson here is that, you know, when you have a guy of his caliber, I personally think you should probably ride him all the way to the end. Right? And
yeah,
until his leg falls off. Because let's look back on 2023. You know, his last season was 22. They kept saying that the door was open for him to return in 23, and then they drafted Anders Carlson, which was basically That was not a Valentine that they sent to Mason Crosby. That was, okay, we're retiring you. We're done. We're going to go with the kid. I mean, they never, that was it. It's not like they ever considered bringing him in to compete with Anders Carlson. And then lo and behold, we get to the end of the season and you are leading 21-17 in Santa Clara in the second half, and it's a 41-yard field goal, which I feel fairly confident Mason Crosby isn't missing under those circumstances, to go up 7, and instead your guy misses it, and the 49ers take the ball and go the other direction and go score the go-ahead touchdown. Like, I'm sorry, but Goody once famously said, going into the 22 season, when you have a championship-caliber team, you need to have a championship-type of kicker. And then obviously that season fell apart. And he didn't think the 23 season was going to be a championship season. But in retrospect, they were there. Like, those opportunities, they could have been at least in the NFC Championship game. And so my lesson would be, until he cannot swing his leg anymore or he's missing kicks constantly, I think you ride the guy of that caliber. And I think that was a mistake to move on from him and draft Anders Carlson when they did.
It was a Bears-esque mistake. They moved off Robbie Gould, double doink. They couldn't replace basically DeCairo Santos. So, it's a dumb, like, keep your kicker. But, Jason, the last thing I have for you is would Aaron Rodgers inform the Green Bay Packers that he will retire as a Packer? Or do you think that'll be more like the Favre?
Love that idea.
Or the more, it'll be more like Favre, where he'll come back around someday, but he's not going to retire as a Packer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you. Like, I don't feel like there's anything close to the same level of bad blood that there was with Roger, that there was with Favre and the Packers, that they had, you know, Rodgers. Rodgers actually gets credit for starting the thaw, right, during the NFL honors, going on stage with him and shaking his hand. Like, people forget about that. But, you know, I do think it's going to be a while. I still think Rodgers is going to play this year. I don't know if I'm going to be proven wrong on that, but I still have such a hard time picturing him going out the way things went in New York. So I think he's going to play for a while still, but yeah, I fully expect a celebration of his career someday down the road. He will not have to inform the team. The team will ask him to come back.
Thank you, Jason. Great stuff as always.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
That is Jason Wilde. We mentioned Ruth's Chris Steakhouse earlier. We were there on Tuesday. You can go there Friday, Saturday, any day of the week. The Sizzle, Swizzle, and Swirl happy hour is going on. Get yourself, like, the steak sandwich is great. The seared sashimi is great. Fried calamari. Obviously, the cocktails there are great. But Chris Orr and I, now linebackers coach for the Chiefs, he and I went there, and we had the burger. And good Lord, Molly Brown. No, good Lord, the burger was amazing. Like, this whole idea of, like, you talk about the marketing, like, oh, you could get a cheeseburger at McDonald's or you could get a steakhouse burger. And, like, that's the idea of between, like, buying cheap marketing and buying really good marketing. Mm-hmm. Good God, the marketing taste of that burger at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse was unmatched. I've never had a burger. And you don't think, like, I'm going to go to Ruth's and get a burger. If you're there for, like, a happy hour and you're having a few Coors Light, get the burger. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.